A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning, gamers.
Good morning, gamers.
Morning, bossaroos.
How tired, on a scale of 1 to 2 tired, are you?
Very. Tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both Ashton and I messaged this morning and said, oh, we're going to take an hour back this morning just at the last minute. Like,
I woke up myself at like 8:15 and I was like, I physically cannot get out of bed. I need another hour. I didn't take an hour this morning.
As we alluded to on last week's podcast, we began shooting our video game this week. Mm-hmm. We are recording early again because we've got several days of shooting. Today is Wednesday. At the time of recording.
It is.
And we've only been shooting for one day and it wiped us out.
We are tired.
We're squeezing a lot into a very short amount of time. And it appears so far that we are probably going to overrun and need to shoot over more days next week.
Definitely.
But hey, we've got some stuff on film now.
Some video game at this point.
Yeah.
So
video game,
it's like 5% done, but that's more than it was before.
It was.
So
it's a high energy fructose corn syrup podcast today. Mm-hmm. We are ready and raring to go to talk to you about the video games. And in order to do that, we need to have these lights on. And in order to have these lights on, we need a very real sponsor that is video game adjacent. I believe Ashton Matthews has the sponsor. Do you see him, Peter? Do you see Dead Island 2, the spider?
No,
I don't see him.
As soon as I turn that heater off, by the way, I'm suddenly really cold again. Can I turn it on, but like on a low heat?
Yes, please.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah. Cook over,
while Ashton
over
reads,
medium heat for 20 minutes.
Okay.
Add.
Go ahead, Ashton, what you got?
So you guys may remember a little while ago there was a remaster of a game that came out. It's like a spooky game. Mm. Where there's just a guy and he's having spooks done to him. You remember?
In Raccoon City Police Station?
No.
Where else?
In a massive asylum?
No, in like a spooky woods.
Spooky Woods?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's the sequel for that game's coming out very, very soon.
Oh.
So here's the game that's coming out. It's
You just couldn't envision the journey to the punchline.
Nothing more to say. Here's the game that's coming out.
Here's the pun.
It's Alan Woke 2.
Alan Woke 2.
Yeah, you may remember a little while ago.
I remember Alan Woke.
Alan Woke.
Yeah.
Well, here's the second one.
Right.
Brilliant.
At no point in the lead up did you say, you know,
anything about
I didn't want to give it away.
I could not think of a single other thing to say. I ran out of brain.
He's an ally.
Yeah, you know. He's an ally.
He's a member of the Alphabet something.
Alphabet Mafia.
What is it? Alphabet Mafia.
Yeah.
What? What's that?
It's because it's LGBT.
That is rubbish.
Yeah, he's part of the Alphabet Mafia. He's a snowflake.
Wokerati.
He's a part of the Wokerati. Alan Woke too. Alan Woke as well.
I love these phrases because they're so farcical. Did a child come up with that?
Yeah.
Wow, Alan Woke 2, I can't wait. As if this game didn't have enough amazing video games. Mm. When is it out? Do we know? Is it November at some point?
The end of this month.
I think it might be out. So it might be out
now? Question mark? I don't know.
Come on, forecast Matthews.
Well, it was that was like 3 weeks ago when I figured that out.
A game has happened since then. Yeah. Video game
and I've slept a bit since then. Yeah.
Just a little bit, though.
It's coming out
on November the 7th. The 6th. November the 9th.
27th of October.
27th of October.
So it's coming out on Friday.
Oh, my God. So it's already out.
Time of release.
Alan Woke 2 is out, everyone.
Yeah, you can go play it. And you can go to
try and cover that,
protests,
we?
And you can...
You can't do it now, after
keep
the
keep your masks on, even though... even now, to keep people vax. Safe, get vaxxed.
When will the tidal wave of good games stop? Because I completely forgot that this game was even coming out.
Well, they'd already moved it back because of Spider-Man.
Yes.
And now everyone's still playing Spider-Man. There's simply no time.
And Mario.
Yeah. The Bonkers. Xbox players will be able to give it a go. If they're exclusively Xbox players and don't want to play that stinky Sony
We got called stuff. Sony ponies last week. Did you
did
know
we?
That?
I did see that, yeah, because that. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good fun.
It's good fun.
No, we're not sponsored by Alan Woke 2, although Alan, give us a call. If you want to. We're sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you go and support us there, there are tons of amazing rewards at the $5 tier, for example. You not only get to ask questions on this podcast, you also get a week early access to Weirdest Games Ever, which is a monthly show, 2 days early access to Worst Games Ever, which is a fortnightly show, and you get access to rotating episodes every month of Main Menu and Rules Boss. There's an episode of Rules Boss coming out next week.
My mimes are the wrong way around.
What did you do?
Main Menu, Rules Boss.
Oh, you were doing little mimes.
Just for fun.
I think there's an episode of Rules Boss out next week for
next
patrons.
Week, yeah.
Very exciting. It's got swearing in it, and like we can put licensed content, like music that we wouldn't be able to put
it's
on the
whole B movie in the middle of it.
The whole B movie. It's the B movie, but it's sandwiched by an episode of Rules Boss. Yeah. Remember that meme?
Yeah.
So, yes, please go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and support us if you can. Triplejump is our website, by the way. That's where you can find links to everything that we do, our YouTube, our Twitch, our Discord, our Cameo. Our shop is triplejumpshop.com. Get yourself some merchandise. I'm the only one wearing merch you can
Peter
get today.
Peter was wearing his sports jacket, but you turned the heating up too much. You got too hot.
Took off. There
it
is.
In our summer outfits now because it's so warm in here.
Yeah.
It's nice. It was cold in
very
here when
cold
I got
outside,
in.
Yeah.
So there we go. And once again, patreon.com/teamtriplejump. It's the spook week.
It is. Mm.
It's the spook week and Halloween is next Tuesday. What amazing things have we got coming out on the channel to celebrate the spookiest time of the year? Go on.
No, by all means. No, you go.
Okay, thanks.
No, you go.
We've got a really, really big... No, you do the first one because you're in it.
Okay.
I'll do the second one.
So on Friday, which is the same day that Alan Wake comes out, by the way, we have got a big old list. It is 101 of the scariest moments in video games.
Ooh.
Spooky, spooky.
Spooky.
It's very long, it's very big, and there's lots of spooky, scary moments in there. So if you're looking to get in the Halloween spirit this week, then why not whack that on?
People love those long videos to fall asleep to, but I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah
it's a bit scary.
Yeah.
There's
we haven't put actual jump scares in it.
No, one point you go to Grimsby, though, and that's the scariest place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Also, we've got a Worst Games Ever, a quote-unquote spooky episode. Mm. It's a bit spooky, but not for reasons that you will expect it to be spooky. I had fun. It was a good episode, I thought.
I had a fantastic time.
It's a good one.
What game is it?
That was spoiling it.
Oh, okay.
It's spooky.
Yeah.
It also wasn't on the run on the schedule.
No.
I had to add it.
No, it wasn't on there. It just said Worst Games Ever.
I
just had
to Google
it because
it's got a stupid name.
I can tell you that there's a skeleton in the thumbnail.
Spooky, scary skeletons. Yeah. Also, the Tat Appeal is open.
Yes.
Yeah. We forgot to mention it last week.
Always forget that.
But if you are looking to send us Tat, then you can go and find the address. Is it going to be in the description? Do we put it in the description?
Not in the description, but it's
around.
It's everywhere. Like we've tweeted about it, we've posted about it. It's on. In fact, no, we've got a bloody URL, haven't we? It's triplejud.mup/tat. Mm, yeah. We should promote that. triplejud.mup/tat. That's our website, and it's a dedicated landing page that gives you the rules of engagement and also the closing date, which is the 17th of November, I think.
18th
of November, and also the address. So triplejud.mup/tat. We need to start putting that in there. Keep forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to everyone who sent tat already. Mm. And someone asked in my stream if like we accept homemade stuff. And it's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Not food, though. Not homemade food.
Probably not.
It probably won't survive. That's
just
true.
Because it's going to sat in a room for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't want to open a box of mold, you know?
Mm, I do. But we accept we very much accept homemade
stuff.
Plushies and clothes and toys and anything like that.
Yeah. Love it.
We do.
Excellent. Shall we crack on with the podcast?
Yes, let's.
Got a question here from Dan, who says, "Hello, Bap. My question is, do you think spoiler culture is hurting video games with people rushing to finish games to avoid spoilers online? Spider-Man 2 having spoiler articles and thumbnails online hours after release. Thanks, Tide Author Dan."
Thanks, Tide Author Dan.
A write-up here.
Thanks, Tide Author Dan.
From IGN that says, both Spider-Men die at the end. No, it doesn't. I'm joking.
Oh, God.
I have no idea. Maybe they do.
You had my heart racing there for a second.
Why would you do that?
No, I don't know. Maybe they do, but that's not a real headline, and I've not finished the game, so I don't know.
If you know what happens to the Spider-Man at the end, tweet Peter Austin and let him know.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
Don't do that.
I will instantly block you forever. That's the thing, though, is like from my experience, I've been very lucky, and I've not seen a single Spidey spoiler, other than I've seen a bit of a trailer that only showed stuff that we've already seen at like showcases and stuff, and like that's you know, so I'd already seen all that stuff. Yeah. I know that we talked last week briefly, didn't we, about a trailer that was going around that was a bit spoilery.
Yeah, they were posting like PlayStation in the promotion were posting just like full screenshots of villains that have probably been like announced in trailers and stuff or in press statements or whatever. But like I wasn't actively trying to avoid them, but I also wasn't going out of my way to watch them. So I was seeing these villains and I was like, I suppose that villain's in it. Mm. Oh, that's annoying to me.
Yeah, like the first villain, I didn't know they were going to be in it necessarily. Maybe that was confirmed, but about a day or two after I'd started playing the game, I then did see a trailer that showed like the first kind of encounter with them.
Mm.
And I was kind of thinking, oh, well, I'm glad I didn't see that 2 days ago because that would be a minor spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
But I am aware, even though I've been lucky, that other people have had some big spoilers thrown at them. I think partly, in terms of articles at least, it helps to follow kind of, not necessarily reputable sources, but sources that are spoiler aware, and you will get some news outlets that lean more towards doing the right thing and not putting big spoilery screenshots or wording in their headlines, and they might allude to, you know, I'm just bubbling away over there. They might just do a headline that, for example, says, "This boss in Spider-Man 2 is making everyone laugh," or whatever, and then you have to click onto it to see who they're talking about. Whereas someone else might say, "Oh, Underpants Man in Spider-Man 2 is making everyone laugh," and you go, "Oh no, Underpants Man."
Wasn't it weird in Spider-Man 2 where Miles just had diarrhea for 3 hours?
Yeah.
That was so crazy.
So it helps to follow the right sources, you know, not go to websites where they do just put like big leaks in their headlines and thumbnails, and likewise following those accounts on social media as well.
But you say that, but I think that some of the like bigger like outlets,
not the biggest ones,
like some of the ones that like it's hard to know until it happens who's going to do it. Like, because the gamer, I think it's gamer. They with Horizon Forbidden West and the DLC, they really upset me because they just fully put a like thumbnail and the headline just in their tweet
and just
spoiled it. And I was like,
and then continue to repost it.
And then continue to repost it. And it's like the game's been out for literally 3 hours at this point. Like the game came out today and you're already posting stuff about it. And it's hard because you know they have to get clicks. But it's like it's still so rubbish when they do that. I unfollowed them. I was like, you upset me now.
And
you're done.
It's not always the biggest ones that are the best for this kind of thing. You know, sometimes perhaps the bigger outlets are maybe better to go to for kind of reliability and maybe like being a bit more kind of, a, you know, not too biased on various stories and things like that. But one thing they're not necessarily good at is not posting big spoilers in their articles. So you do just have to be careful. Obviously, it helps to like mute things on social media if you can and if you want to. But I kind of feel a bit aggrieved at like muting stuff. Like I never mute Star Wars when there's a new Star Wars show out because I kind of want to, after the episode is out and I've seen it, I then want to see all the discourse on it and like enjoy that. So.
But you've also taken time off work. Well, that's to why, like,
because
watch
I don't
the
want
show
to the stuff.
As, yeah, when it comes out, which so, you shouldn't have to do.
Yeah. You shouldn't. And you I shouldn't guess have some people have probably taken time off work to play Spider-Man, not just because they're excited and want to play it, but because they're worried about spoilers. So, yeah, all I can say is I've been lucky, and my advice is to try and, you know, mute certain terms and avoid certain outlets, perhaps, who are very spoilery. But have you guys seen any big spoilers?
I haven't, but I think it's because I haven't, like, engaged too much with the Spider-Man content on Twitter. Right. I think that, like, I've looked, but I haven't, like, actively told Twitter that I want to see more about Spider-Man. But I do think it's so rubbish that, like, we have to feel like we have to not rush through things, but there is that inherent sense of I need to play this now, because if I don't play it now, it's going to be ruined for me.
And within a week, everyone will think it's fair game.
Yeah,
even the ones
exactly.
Who don't post spoilers.
Exactly. And like you're saying with, like, TV shows and stuff, when Ahsoka was coming out, the official Star Wars account was, like, posting posters that spoiled stuff in the episode, like, 4 hours into the day at, like, 2 p.m. I'm like, I've been at work. When do you expect me to, like, had time to watch this that you can just post stuff, like, spoilery about it? So it's not even, like, outlets. Sometimes it's, like, the publisher or, like, the official account. Like you said, that Sony just posting pictures of, like, villains that you fight and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's so annoying, because there's hype and then there's, like, you've overhyped, you've ruined it now. Mm. Like the trailer that we were talking about last week that I saw, I was watching the Rugby World Cup with my dad and it came on, like, just before halftime. And it was like, oh, cool. Well, that's just, like, given me, like, a bunch of stuff that I had been kind of not actively avoiding, but if I saw a trailer, I was like, I'm not going to watch it because I know I'm going to play the game and I'd rather just, like, be surprised by what happened. But then you watch, like, 2 hours of terrestrial TV and it's like you can't avoid it. I do think that spoiler culture is, I don't know if it's hurting video games in the sense that I think that, like, maybe rushing through is a bad thing, but I don't think that everyone will rush through. I don't think it's quite so much of an epidemic that it's like everyone's rushing through the game, everyone's taking the day off, everyone's, like, sprinting through the story just to, like, make sure they don't spoil anything. But I do think that it is very annoying to not even be able to kind of discuss stuff online without just, like, encountering a spoiler. Mm-hmm. Just kind of rubbish.
Yeah. It's so self-defeating because these outlets and publishers, etc., that do rely on clicks and word of mouth and stuff like that. Unfortunately, the spoilery stuff is probably the stuff that tends to do the best.
Yeah.
Because outside, I'd say that most entertainment mediums have a following, a very sizable following, where people will be on the internet quite a lot. But particularly with, like, core gaming, people mm-hmm. who play games a lot, they're probably going to be online a lot.
Yeah.
And so it's even harder for them to avoid this stuff. And yes, they can mute keywords and stuff like that, but there's still a chance that stuff will slip through.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where it's going to come from.
And sometimes you don't know what to mute. So, like, say, I'll use a DC character just for, say, the Joker was in Spider-Man.
Yes.
Because, well, for some reason, you wouldn't necessarily, someone might just post, say, a tweet that says, can't believe that Joker scene. And those are the only words in it. There's no mention of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So if you've not muted the word Joker, you're going to see that tweet.
Or if it's like a screenshot and then like there's no, you can't, like, mute that. And if one of your mutuals just, like, posts a picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But for the fans of video games who, you know, just play them in their downtime, or maybe they don't have the console in question and stuff, and they're like, well, I like Spider-Man, but I don't have a PS5. Hell yeah, TikTok served me a video of Spider-Man fighting the Joker.
Yeah.
And, like, absolutely, like, I want to see that. And then loads of people want to see that because that's cool. It's a game that I can't play, or it's a game that I might see that and think, you know what, maybe I will get this Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's this vicious cycle where it's like, yeah, we don't want to know anything going in, but we, unfortunately, are probably the minority who are most affected by this.
Yeah.
I can't say for certain that there has ever been a game that's come out that I've rushed through because I wanted to avoid spoilers. Mm-hmm. There are games that I have absolutely demolished because I've loved them
and
I haven't wanted to put them down. Fortunately, I'm in a position where I haven't seen any spoilers, but also I make, as I've spoken about before, I make a concerted effort to stay off social media when I'm not at work to the best of my ability. So maybe that has helped. But also, that's just one side of the coin. You also can't, you can never prepare yourself for nasty online troll people who actively go out of their way to spoil things for
you. We had that with The Last of Us.
We did have it for The Last of Us. Yeah, someone came in and made it their username, a big spoiler. They made it their username so that when they were immediately blocked, it still displayed their username in the chat as having been blocked. Like that, you just cannot protect yourselves from all of these angles. And some outlets should know better and should be better about it. But when this is the stuff that performs best, that is the lifeblood of their business, that lets them pay their staff, it's like, I understand why they do it. I don't like it, but I understand why they do it. And then you've got the nasty people who just want to ruin everyone's day.
I like it when people put spoiler warnings at the beginning of their like headline or on their tweet or on their like TikTok.
In Reddit, you can redact bits, can't
you?
Yeah.
Click
on. That's exactly what I was going to... Sorry, you carry on.
No, I was going to say like people will put like spoiler warning and then like do a bunch of dots. So you have to actively like...
Show more.
Press show more or like keep looking down to actually see the spoiler.
Yeah.
Or on TikTok, if you're like, if it's like a TV show spoiler, 90% of the time it must be like spoiler for... Ahsoka, and then like you can just scroll away before down, so it's like I love that, and it's people who, it's like the general public who are making these tweets or doing the stuff that will often put spoiler warnings, and I think that maybe more outlets should pop that just at the top of their headline so they're like, don't click on this headline. It's kind of less bad now that Twitter have changed it so it's just a picture.
It's about the only benefit from that,
but obviously that means people are now putting that like in the picture / putting it like on the tweet. But you can mute that, whereas you can't mute like the headline of an article.
But I do wish that Twitter would implement a proper thing where you can put an actual like mask over your own tweet, so you can, if you do an image, you can flag your own image as like sensitive or something, and that allows you to like blur the image, which is useful. So you can do that. You can maybe post an image of something that you're talking about and then just say like, I thought this bit was really good.
But you never know if it's going to be boobies.
Well, you also never know if it's going to be boobies.
But you have to check just to be sure.
You always have to check.
You always have to check.
But I wish that there was just an option to do that for text, just plain text. So I could do a whole thread on like, here's what I really loved in Spider-Man. You know, even on day one, if I wanted to, I could say, oh, I've already played 6 hours, really loved this moment. And then just take a thing that says like, blur my tweet and put Spider-Man spoilers, and then people can choose whether to, you know, because even if you do the dots or whatever, if someone's sort of scrolling up and down and, you know, it's hard to, sometimes you can still just see stuff and that's not always sufficient for me. So I do wish that Twitter would do that. But
yeah.
Wow. I wish just be good to each other. Twitter would do.
Be good and nice to each other,
please.
Please
be good and nice.
And hopefully we can have a future without any spoilers at all. Apart from when you talk about that 1997 video game that has that big twist that everyone knows about except Ashton Matthews.
I know about it now.
Let's move on to a section we've never done before.
Yeah, it's brand new. And we are calling it What We Playin'.
It's What We Play in time. Time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Peter Austin, what have you been playing?
I have played nothing but Spider-Man
all week,
and I've been really enjoying it. I guess you guys have also, well, I know you guys have also been playing Spider-Man.
Yes. We're not doing a review corner for it, but because we're just going to talk about it now.
So I don't know if you maybe want to talk about the other things you've been playing, and then we can all talk Spider-Man afterwards.
Yeah, sure. You played anything else?
Oh, I played Borderlands 3.
Oh.
With you.
Yeah, we played some Borderlands.
Whoa,
and my Ben and also our editor Kieran, we played some Borderlands 3.
Did a Borderlands sesh.
And it was a good fun time.
Oh, it was great.
That game is buggy as hell still.
Oh, it's so busted even now. This is the PS5 Xbox Series X version.
We were playing on split screen on the PS5, me and Ben, and then other Ben and Kieran playing on the Xbox Series X.
Yes.
And ours was just bugging out. Every time one of us opened our menu or our map or anything, like, it would judder like crazy. We were just having
the
just
frame rate
just
kept just
slow
and then they fixed it.
Yeah.
But it hasn't. And then sometimes
it still
the,
lags so
what
much.
What was it that you would do? You would just go into your menu and the frame rate of the game would drop to like 12. It would just go. Yeah.
And we kept like shooting enemies and they're not taking any damage, and then suddenly they just like explode with damage.
And this was crossplay as well. Yeah. So this is like it running in split screen and also using their shift servers to do crossplay with Xbox, and it was just like Man. But really fun.
Yeah, actually.
I've never really played a Borderlands game with four players before.
No,
maximum of three, usually only two. Mm-hmm. And with four players, it was a good laugh.
Yeah, it was. It was good fun. Yeah. But I still can't believe we let that game get away with how busted it was.
Yeah.
And still is.
What's going to happen with the fourth one? Who knows?
Yeah, if there who knows? One. But that's the only thing I've played other than Spider-Man this week.
While I was waiting for Spider-Man to unlock for me at midnight so I could get it downloading, I hopped back into Assassin's Creed's Mirage and just did some collectibles. I wasn't following any guides. I was just like running aimlessly, kept coming across buildings where every conceivable entrance was barred, and like just ran around it in circles for 10 minutes and then got bored and went to the next place. Right. Like, I can't work out how to get in here. Mm-hmm. Just got a few trophies and I should probably return to it and platinum it at some point because it's doable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not that far off getting the platinum. I was just running around throwing, what was it? There are various combat trophies. So kill a certain amount of enemies with throwing knives. So I'm just running around. Every guard I see, I'm just like, throwing knife, throwing knife. Just murdering everyone in the street. That was it. Apart from that, though, Spider-Man. A lot of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Peter, what are your thoughts, please?
I'm loving it. It's the first game in a long time that... I'm kind of thinking about it all day at work and just sort of wanting to go home, play it some more. I think I've played about a third of it now. I'm about 33%, but I don't know necessarily what the split of that is between story and side missions because I'm doing a lot of that. I'm just going around. Anything that I swing past, I'll generally stop and try and do that. And I pretty much engage with every single one of the randomly generated crimes as well, even though eventually you start looping through and doing the same ones. I'm still just doing them all and enjoying it, partly to get the tech parts, but also just because it's all super fun. And there's a chance that one of them will be one of the car ones, and I really like the car ones.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really like some of the other ones as much, where you're just beating people up. But, I like stopping cars in the street. I think it's not a perfect game for me. I think I've seen some people just say, like, this is flawless. I couldn't like say one wrong thing about it. To me, it's like, I still find the combat a bit of a grind at times. Like, I feel like I can be wailing on a group of guys for like 5 minutes, and then a cutscene will play, and then like another wave of guys will show up, and I'm like, okay, sure. It's still fun. Like, that's one of the worst things I can say about it, is like, there's maybe a bit too much combat for me, but the combat is really good and I still enjoy it. It's just the thing I enjoy the least.
I get my shoulder buttons confused sometimes in combat, like which one does gadgets and which one
does
powers. So in the end, like sometimes I'll just be sort of just mashing them and I'll do a power and also throw out like a gadget at the same time, and I don't intend to.
I sort of go through kind of phases of like, I'll just do loads of punches and like swing, you know, just general attacks and things, and then suddenly I go, oh yeah, powers, and I'll just like do every single one of my powers and then all of my gadgets and wait till they've all run out, and then I'll just go back to like wailing on people and wait for them to recharge again. So I don't mix it up in quite the way I probably should. I have had two bugs.
Oh.
Which I've heard.
I've had quite a few bugs, actually. Yeah.
Peter and Miles. What?
Not what, sorry?
The two bugs.
The two bugs. There you go.
Yeah. Go on.
One bug was, it was described by Insomniac on their webpage as a very rare issue.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. Yeah,
where my main quest marker vanished and I was just between quests, just in the big city.
I had something similar, actually. Mm-hmm. The final, you know, those various collectibles, and then once you get all of them, it usually ends in like,
go to this
destination.
Yeah.
I had a couple of those where it just didn't, like it would pop up initially and then just wouldn't appear.
Right.
I was like, I had to look up on the internet where the last one of and then just go there manually, and there was something to interact with.
Okay.
Like, that's weird.
But yeah, I was, I just finished a mission. I got a phone call from a character saying, hey, meet me at whatever. And then I didn't even notice at the time, cause I was like, I'm going to go do some side stuff. And I was like, okay, let's do the main mission. I was like, oh, I don't have a marker. And I like looked on the map. I didn't have a map marker. And I didn't know what to do. And I looked it up and it was like, yeah, this is actually, not only is it rare, but it like, it's a bit of a soft lock, effectively. So what you have to do is go back to the front menu. So you have to like quit out of the game and go on, like continue where your your file is, mm-hmm. but there's an option below that called like load game, mm-hmm. and it's constantly making backup saves, little auto saves that you don't even really see if you're just going on continue all the time.
Right.
So I basically had to sort of backdate by half an hour or something. So it was all right. But yeah. And the only other thing I've had is I was going really, really fast swinging through the city, and I swung in a perfect arc so that just as I reached the whatever the opposite of an apex is, the very bottom of my swing, I slammed through an apartment door. And I was in this like tiny little box that just exists for NPCs to walk into. And loads of people were coming and going into this.
Wow.
The door was opening.
Lucky day for them.
People were coming in and out. And I was trying to get through the door, but you can't.
Can you hold the door for me, please?
And it was just in this pitch black room. Occasionally the door would open and someone would walk in and then vanish.
That's great.
And I should have actually captured a thing to share. But I was like, oh, I don't even know if this is like too spoilery, because I don't know. I just didn't want
to. Yeah, I'm hesitant to even post like which suit I'm wearing.
Yeah, exactly.
So many of them are hidden.
So I didn't actually capture a clip, but I was like, what do I do? Am I going to have to quit and like load back up? But I could just see if I kept like moving my camera a little bit left and right, there were about 2 pixels where I could activate a point launch.
Oh, and zip
so
out.
So I was able to zip out.
Oh, amazing. Wow.
Yeah. So that was quite fun though. I kind of enjoyed it.
Amazing.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of foot traffic through that door. Ashton, what thoughts have you had?
Well, I must say I've been really enjoying the game, and yeah. I don't fast travel. I just swing or fly everywhere. It's very good. Like, I've done it once or twice, but for the most part, I'm just swinging and flying around because the traversal is just so fun. Mm. The bugs I encountered were, I went to the theme park and I got stuck on a bench and I couldn't get off the bench, and it was like, would you like to talk to MJ? And I said, yes, please. And then it's like, can't talk to MJ. So I just sat there and I couldn't get off the bench, so I had to close the game and open the game again. I've had a few just where like, well, I got stuck inside a building.
Oh, right.
There was like one of the like challenge things that you have to do where there's like, you're on the platform and you got to knock a bunch of enemies off. And there was this like floating skull and it like knocked me inside the building, and all the enemies were like running at the wall. And I was like, I can't do anything.
No.
And I couldn't even get out. Like, I was just stuck. Oh. And then like the occasional thing where I feel like sometimes my webs don't go, like I'm pressing R2 and he's just like,
I've had that once.
And he just hits the ground.
Yeah, that happened to me once, and I was like, "Is my controller not? Is it my controller or something?" And then it just suddenly started working, and he would swing.
But I really love the story. I kind of love that the world feels inhabited. There was like a viral TikTok going around this week of a conversation between two NPCs that like just sounds like a regular conversation, and the voice actor was like, oh my god, that's me and one of the other voice actors. We were given a topic and we just improvised, and it's just this conversation between and there's just Miles is just stood next to them while they're talking about how like you should nanny children or something, and they're just like, and it's quite a funny conversation, to be fair. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it, and apart from the odd little bug or like judder here and there, I think it's pretty good.
I think
it's pretty great.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. In terms of like very small things that I find annoying, I find it difficult to land in a very specific place.
Yeah, I'm always pinging off.
Yeah, you're always like zipping past, especially on rooftops where you've got to pick up something. Fortunately, they have now added a thing where you press triangle and you can like web it towards you. So you don't need to go all the way up to it like you did in the first game. But still, I'm like, there it is. And I'll land, and then I'll press X to sort of, no, I'm not quite going to make it. And I'll launch myself off over the other side of the building. Like, damn it, will you just... Mm-hmm. Sometimes as well on the side of buildings, like when I'm trying to run up them or go up them, like... Spidey will get stuck on something and just sort of like, I don't know whether you want me to climb or run. Yeah. I'm just going to sort of jiggle here and not actually move, which, you know, that's annoying. But that's a very minor thing, I would say, when you look at the traversal generally, because between the web swinging and the little webby wings that you got, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most fun I've had flying in a video game. And you're not even technically flying. Yeah. They've got these slipstreams.
You're falling with style.
Exactly. You've got these slipstreams all the way around New York where they're just basically wind tunnels. Mm-hmm. And you go in them and you just launch out of them. It's so good. Like, it's really, really fun. And we'll talk about the fast travel in a minute. But that is bonkers because I've been doing... all of the side stuff as soon as it's become available.
Yeah,
like before
too.
I do any other missions, I've like been going for this any side things that are available. And the speed at which that happens is is unreal. Like, mm-hmm. it's really impressive. Yeah. I love that in combat now, especially in the sort of the stealthy bits where you're meant to be taking them down quietly, you've got a new web that will that you can just put your own launch line basically across and walk
like a tightrope
thing. So good. Like, yeah. that's great. I really like that. I'm trying to think of other things as well that really stood out to me. It's bloody gorgeous, tell you that much.
Yeah,
lovely is. Looking game.
I love the sort of rogues gallery in it this time. Mm-hmm. Sort of can't. It's been a while since I played the first one, and I was trying to like weigh up like how does it stack up in terms of numbers of kind of villains and anti-heroes and things. Mm-hmm. And I think there are more that I've encountered in this one already, mm-hmm. and a couple of like sort of deeper cuts as well, where I'm like, oh. Yeah, I've like vaguely heard of that character, but it's cool to see.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think the story's really interesting as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really enjoying kind of where it's going so far. I think I'm about, according to the percentage, I'm 59% of the way through, which is again like with all the side stuff that I've been doing as well. Mm-hmm. The only annoying side stuff is you have to collect a bunch of stuff that don't come up on the map, and you have to just kind of swing by and find them. Mm. And they do like a big like ball of like, we're here.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, where's here? I can't, where are you?
One of them I've seen, there's an ability you unlock later on for the, you know, the blue crates that just have bits in them. You can unlock later on a thing that makes them show up on the map.
Yeah, yes, I didn't care about that. I was like,
I've got those, and then I had to stop collecting them because I don't think there's a percentage association. They're just everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was like, right, I can see these now. So I'm going to pick. So I'd like swing to one building and go, oh, there's one over there. Oh, there's one over there. And it was just, it wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't do that for very long.
I think this game is the best use of the PS5's abilities that mm-hmm. I've encountered. Like, even if it's just like a small side thing, everything seems to have a use for the PlayStation 5 controller. Like, it feels like it's getting its most use out of all of the games.
I think
definitely. I also love that Spider-Man will never just pull a lever with his hands.
No, never.
Like, he'll be in a crawl space and the lever's like here,
yeah,
and instead of just being like, I'll just pull this, he's like, let me just web it with both my hands. And I'm like, you're being unnecessary, Spider-Man.
It's being extra.
He is being extra.
And we stan it.
We do.
Yes, we do. One of the things that I really, really like is that in the first game, it felt like they revolutionized the rooms in buildings in cities,
yeah,
where
really
instead
good,
of just like it being, you know, you'd see a skyscraper and it'd have yellow windows because mm-hmm. the lights were on in there. In the first game, they had like these sort of, if you look too hard at them, they're weird, but like these 3D spaces inside each window that you could look at. They've stepped up this time. They're NPCs in them now.
Yeah.
Like watching TV and stuff.
Yeah.
One guy was doing stretching. Weren't I?
Apart from when they're not,
yeah,
which is really disconcerting. Like, I've come across people sat in the dark staring at a turned off television.
Right.
Just like staring dead ahead. And that's a bit upsetting.
Sometimes it'd be like that though.
Sometimes it do be like that.
They do live in a city that's full of supervillains.
Yeah.
It's true.
Be doing
they might just
well.
Be having a moment of like, yeah, my dad died because of the Sandman yesterday. They're just having
And Spider-Man's
a
like, look at this clown just sat in the dark. And other times it like doesn't make any physical sense.
Yeah.
Like, you'll crawl around a corner and like change the perspective and it'll be a different person mm-hmm. in a different room. Like, it's sort of like a quantum building.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it just makes it feel so alive. And I'm blown away by this game. It's mm-hmm. everything I wanted it to be. I think on my percentage, I haven't actually checked for a little while. Last time I checked, I was on 40 something.
Yeah,
and again, that was just all the side stuff. And then I'll check in with the main mission in a bit. I got to go around and like, I want to upgrade my powers. I want to get a new suit and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And the suit selections are great as well.
I'm having a brilliant time with the suits. I'm changing outfits like every other hour.
Yeah.
I'm like, what outfit now?
Mm-hmm.
I do think if I had one complaint about the kind of the lore and the story and like characterization and stuff, is that it seems like every flipping person in that entire city knows everything about science and history and geography. Like, not only is... I know, obviously, Peter Parker's meant to be very clever, and I guess Miles, by extension, also happens to be a very clever person.
Mm.
But then you've got, you know, all the other people who work for various science corporations. And again, you could say, well, that's because they've hired the cleverest people,
because they're
right?
clever people, yeah.
But then also, Mary Jane, speaks fluent something at one point. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's because she went to Simcaria and Miles Morales.
Well, she did.
She studied there and now she speaks the language and has a taser.
Do you feel threatened? Is that what it is? Is everyone too clever?
You can't speak Simcaria.
She's Mary Sue is what I'm saying. Oh. No, absolutely not. No, I just thought like she manages to convince other characters that she is like she's
fluent,
just not only fluent but seemingly, you know, has the perfect accent. And I just thought, okay. And it's not, that's just like, that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't have a problem with Mary Jane speaking Simcarian, but I was like,
I've not got a problem with Mary Jane. Look, I'm
even
not
Peter Parker, who, all right, as I say, he's meant to be very clever.
Yeah,
he literally knows everything about everything.
There has to be a necessary suspension of disbelief in the game.
Oh, there does, and I'm going with it. But
because my girlfriend said a similar thing when I was playing as Miles and doing some of those side missions, like some very, very low stakes side missions.
Yeah.
She was like, why is like he wasting his time doing that when like there could be a real crime? And I was like, that's a great point. But also, this is just sort of how comic book characters work. They have time for everything all the time.
Like, my main question is, why do people keep bothering to try and commit crimes?
Yeah. Like, why would you do it?
I get like the gangs that have like, you know, there's like a series of cultists and also the big bads gang. But then you've got like just a bunch of thugs just robbing a car.
Now, Spider-Man turns up and they're like, we're going to take Spider down.
Yeah, sure, you'll take Spider-Man down.
It's the spider. Spider-Man doesn't kill. However, as Peter can attest as someone who's done a lot of those car missions, the velocity with which those men are ejected from cars and into barriers, it must be lethal.
Also, I'm smashing their heads against walls. Like, they're killing them.
You've probably given like one guy the same concussion.
They've all got traumatic brain injuries.
They keep coming back for more.
Yeah. Also, do you remember in the first game, he used to stick people to the side of buildings when he knocked them off?
Yeah, he still does that.
He still does that.
Have you managed to... anyone stuck to the side of a building?
It does still happen, but I managed to break it where a guy just went cartwheeling off into the sunset. Like, well, he'll be fine, I'm sure.
That's a common tactic. If I'm on a rooftop, I'll do like an up launch and then I'll do a switch.
Kick them off. Yeah.
And I don't think I've seen a single person get stuck to a building.
Okay, it does happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you might just have that very special bug that means that everyone dies.
Maybe.
In your version.
You're in the like lethal Spider-Man though. Very good.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, very, very good. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll be talking about it for at least a couple of weeks to come. And I think it firmly cements itself as one of, if not the... I mean, this is contentious with the Batman Arkham games, but it's certainly one of the best superhero games ever made.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, I think... If judging the quality across the board from Spider-Man 1 to Miles Morales to Spider-Man 2, I'd say it averages better than the Arkham trilogy.
It's more consistently good.
Yeah.
I think it is more consistently good. But I love the Arkham trilogy and I think they're fantastic games. But Spider-Man is so good.
Insomniac really can do no wrong in my eyes.
They're great.
They are just brilliant. Mm.
Really, really good. There's a great podcast that I'm forgetting his name now. Ted Price, I think, is Insomniac Man. And he has a podcast that I can't remember the name of, so this isn't very useful. But he had a conversation with... He basically just chats with developers on it. And it's really interesting. And he spoke to... Todd Howard, when Starfield was coming out. And it really highlights just how ludicrous the whole console wars debate is and the tribalism when these two are having just a conversation, because they don't give a flying flip about which manufacturer owns their companies.
Yeah.
Is it the Academy of Interactive Arts and Science Game Maker's Notebook? Is that what it is?
Don't know. Possibly. It could be that.
It's, yeah,
roll
game
off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the AIAS Game Maker's Notebook. Price chats with Todd Howard about Bethesda's much anticipated spacefaring RPG stuff.
If that's what it is, you should go give it a listen. But yeah, it's really interesting, those two just chatting, because they're like, oh, I haven't seen you in ages. Oh, we're so excited to play Starfield. Or, look, we can't wait to play Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They're just people making games.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives a toss? You know, come on, stop it. But Spider-Man 2 is great. And if you can play it, you bloody well should. Mm-hmm. We're now going to head over to the Review Corner. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Review Corner. I'm Ben, and I'm joined by James Jenkins.
Hello.
Hello, James Jenkins. How are you?
Hello, Ben Potter. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. A lot of anger and furor at the fact that we talked about Spider-Man last week and we didn't talk about Mario. I don't actually know if that's the case. I'm just assuming the worst in people.
Probably.
But you had to take your time to give it a go, and we recorded early last week, and we didn't have... But you have been playing Super Mario Wonder.
Yeah, Super Mario Bros.
Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Wanda.
Yep.
And we've got to say the thing, James.
Ah, well, because, you know, as per ASA guidelines, we are technically supposed to disclose this as a hashtag ad.
Yes.
But by that, no monetary compensation was given to us. So,
no,
yeah.
It was not. Thank you, Nintendo.
Thank you very much, Nintendo,
for sending us the code. James, what is this game and why is it significant, please?
Oh, well, it's huge because it's the first, like, new 2D Mario in quite some years. I'm actually not sure how many years, but I think since the last, like, was it on the Wii U? Like, new Super Mario Bros. For Wii
okay,
U
so it's been a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, they've sorted out a slightly better title, at least. And yeah, and it's also significant because, man, it's classic Mario and it's good.
Yeah.
If that's all you really need to find out about, or you really need to know, it feels just like the sort of classic Marios that you might have played in, you know, back in the day, on your handhelds, on your old consoles, or even on the Wii U.
Nice.
It's still got your four-player local co-op. Mm-hmm. It's still, yeah, I'd imagine very manic with four players, manic enough with two players. And yeah, it's just that sort of classic feeling formula, but with a lot of surprises. It feels like there's something delightful. It's a very delightful Mario
wonderful,
game.
Wonderful, if you
will. Yeah, wonderful, exactly. I mean, let's not go too far. yeah, it's every single level feels like there's something crazy in there and something interesting and exciting. And yeah, it's just that lovely sort of feel and format. So I mentioned the multiplayer aspect to it. So
yes.
Again, that from what I can gather is exactly the same. You can drop in and out of an existing game with a local co-op partner, up to three extra people, and you've got 10 characters to choose from. So
ooh,
you know
10.
Your classics, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They padded it out with a few different coloured Yoshis.
Oh yeah. Right, no, those are different.
Yeah,
those are different people.
They are technically. I don't know. And however, be aware that so five of those 10. No, it might be 12 characters actually.
Okay,
I think it's 12 characters. So yeah,
more than
five
the brothers,
of those.
Though. More than just the brothers.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. So you've got like four different Yoshis / Nabbit. I'm not entirely sure what that character is either. I'm missing some of the modern Mario lore. It's very complicated. But yeah, those are like the easy mode options where you don't get the special bonus power-ups. You don't get the benefits from those. And I'll get to that in just a second. But you don't take damage from enemies either. So it's a lot more accessible.
Yeah.
It feels like they've brought in that to make it more easy to drop in for more casual players or for younger family members and stuff like that. And another thing that sort of reinforces that aspect is the fact that there's no collision in multiplayer. So this might be a bit of a shame if you liked the chaos of games where you'd ground pound other people,
that could get a bit old though, surely.
Yeah,
right?
That's
in a platformer.
I was a bit sad at first thinking about it, but I think it's a fair play. It's a fair decision that they've made here to make it less frustrating in the long term, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of setup, I mean, it's very simple. You have Bowser comes along, messes stuff up. You've got to solve it with the help of speaking of Mario lore, this is a weird deep cut. Prince Florian of the Flower Kingdom.
Okay.
He was in, I think he was in the old CDI game, and he was like this, basically a human that woos Peach after Mario does all the hard work. All the legwork.
In the CDI game.
Yeah.
They pulled from the CDI, CDI game.
The name is there.
Okay.
But this time he's not human, he's just like a little worm.
One of those little freaks, One of those little Mario freaks.
that was kind of interesting. But yeah, he's there just helping out as well.
That's fun.
Insofar as like how much story there is.
Yeah.
But really, it's just an excuse to jump a lot and do a lot of cool platforming.
Uh-huh.
And the overall structure is very sort of similar. You've got like an overworld where you've got your main levels and then quite a few sort of bonus levels.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every main level has, like I said, a crazy new surprise. And a lot of those come down to it being like, I forget the name of them now, but like the wonder flowers, I guess.
Yeah, talk to me about this elephant.
Well, actually, yeah. So that's a slightly different thing. Actually, let's talk about the elephant right now.
Okay,
let's talk about the elephant in the room.
No, I was going to say, for God's sake, we can't be the only people who've made that joke.
I know. Well, it took us this long.
It must have
got
exhausting when they were making the game. Yeah. Imagine every conversation.
So anyway, let's talk about the Mario in the room.
Yes.
He's one of the powers, and I don't know if there are other ones that transform you into other crazy things, but pretty much from the first level, you get this elephant power-up, and it's amazing. You look ridiculous. Yeah. I'm still not quite fully okay with the design. I don't know what it is. It's very crazy. But yeah, all of the main characters that can use the power-ups, like I said, you know, the easy mode ones can't.
According to Metacritic as well, that elephant could beat up Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, well that's it. Elephants are much bigger than spiders.
That
so
Mario Spider-Man hybrid monster could take Spider-Man in a fight.
Easy money. So that one is very fun. You can just, you know, hit people with your trunk. There's a fun little thing that they sort of, and it's the very classic, you know, Nintendo at the best, sort of showing off the new features almost immediately with intuitive gameplay. There's a lot of water, you stand in the water, your trunk gets full up, and you can just blow enemies away with, you know, a blast of water.
Nice.
That's quite fun. Mm-hmm. In terms of other gameplay sort of additions, something that I thought was quite interesting is you have badges that you unlock as you go, the further you go through. Mm-hmm. And they provide like different sort of gameplay changes from like actual sort of active things where you can sort of float with your hat, so making jumps a little bit easier. Or you can have like more passive things like sort of starting off with an extra mushroom and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So those are really cool as a little bit of like... Just a slight sort of mix up, alternative things. Like there was one where you could swim a lot faster and really helpful with the water levels and stuff. Mm. But yeah, as I mentioned before, the strange flowers, right?
Yes, yeah.
They basically, you just go on a weird trip and the level changes to something completely different. There's strange stuff, so... If you remembered from the trailer, there was like the pipe sort of moving along like a worm.
Oh, yeah.
There's all sorts of strange things, like literally several, like maybe like the third or the second level in, it already peaks because you hit that and then it turns into like a musical. It was like Piranha Plants on Parade.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it's just a chorus, a beautiful like musical
the
chorus.
Machine.
Yeah, yeah. Doo-doo. That's the one, exactly. Ah, flip you. I won't do what you tell me. It was amazing. It was amazing.
There's got, hang on, I've got this. Tom. Come on.
Mariuello?
Come on. We've got to do it in fewer syllables than that. Tom. I can't.
Mariello?
Sure. Damn it. It was like right there.
Luigi Morello.
Sure.
There we go.
Sorry.
Amazing.
I just want the piranha plants playing balls on parade.
I mean, speaking of, another one, they honestly have missed the trick with this because a few levels after you have these balls, I forget the Mario universe name for them, but they are literally stampeding. They are on parade as well.
Brilliant.
And that's one of the things where, actually, one of the more difficult levels as well that I played, at least, you know, in my early sort of stage, they're just... stampeding through and you've got to like remain on because you can walk on top of them and it becomes a very very difficult sort of more challenging aspect. So there are challenging levels there. Mm-hmm. I think that was more of an optional thing. Pretty much every single time there's like I said, there's a surprise in every level and it's very very delightful, very nice to see that.
Amazing. Presentation good, music colorful, that sort of thing.
Just peak Mario, yeah. You can't really complain of it. It's like I say, it's done that classic Nintendo thing where it's like you know what to expect, and yet they still sort of add in some surprises. So it's like
the magic.
Wow. Yeah, it's really cool. And on a final note as well, the music, you know, as well as having Tom, Luigi, Mariuello
of course,
in there, you've got just fantastic music overall.
Rage Against the Mushroom.
There you go. Well done.
That's not quite good, is it?
And
it's
stop right. For applause.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, everyone. Okay. Thank you. Hands on the wheel now if you're driving.
Okay. The music as a whole, they've really sort of revamped it and made it like a part of the levels and the whole experience. Like, even so far as like every time you do a little ground pound, it goes like, it's like a little drum, like, tsh, tsh, amazing. Like, very good, very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really, really delightful. I see why it's got such crazy numbers with the reviews.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Just a very special game, then.
Yeah, it just reminds me of, like, you know what? Yeah, not every game needs to have, like, 500 hours of stuff. Like, mm-hmm. this is delightful. This is lovely. So
excellent. Yeah. Oh, well, that's really lovely. I think gamers were spoiled last weekend, quite frankly,
oh, yeah.
weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
What an absurd year for video games. It is continuing to be.
Too much to choose from.
It's still not over yet. We've still got games to come. And, God, the Game of the Year conversation at the beginning of next year, which is when we normally do it, is going to be out of control.
Gollum all the way.
Gollum's going to win, and that King Kong game as well.
Oh, my God.
James, thank you so much for chatting with us. I think we're going to hop over now to Ashton, who's going to talk about the seventh guest, VR.
Oh,
and we're back in the review corner, but James Jenkinson's gone. He's gone. And Ashton Matthews is here.
I'm here now.
Hello, Ashton Matthews.
Hello, Ben Potter.
What is the seventh guest, please?
It is a VR puzzle horror game.
Yeah.
That has live action. I wouldn't call them cutscenes, but they're not really cutscenes. They're kind of just like ghostly apparitions that you are seeing that are actual real people who've recorded stuff in a studio. So it looks pretty good.
An FMV doodah.
It is an FMV kind of doodah, yeah. But it's really good. It was sent to us by Evolve PR and Vertigo Games, so thank you so much for sending us a code for this.
We've already said the thing.
We've already done the thing, so we're not going to say that, but thank you for sending us anyway. I played it on MetaQuest 2. Not the first one. And I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was really clever. It's a little bit, as I think with most VR games, it's a little bit janky in places in that sometimes, like, it would tell me I was leaving the play area when I was just kind of reaching out. If I, like, moved my head to the side, it would think that I've put my, like, my headset down, and it would tell me I've left the play area. But, you know, these things are mainly not an issue if you have a bigger space, but maybe it's just because I didn't have much big space.
Right.
But I really enjoyed the puzzles. I thought they were really clever. Took me a while to figure a few of them out, but they're not like, it's not because they didn't tell me what I was doing, it's because I was being silly. So I encountered a few bugs and a few kind of things that just didn't work. So you get this like a map thing in one hand, and you have like this time rewind lantern in the other hand.
Okay.
So you can shine the lantern on certain objects and they will either like reform or they will go back to how they were at the time. And then sometimes with the map, I was trying to like press like the help button and it just was like, yeah, so you highlighted the help button. And I'm like, yeah. Can I press it?
No.
And it's like, no, you just can't. Don't be silly. But basically, the premise is that there's an evil toy maker that owns this house. And he invited six guests to come to this dinner party. There's like a Broadway starlet, a businessman, an unhappily married couple.
Proper Cluedo stuff.
Yeah, yeah. A magician and a woman who drinks too much.
That could be any of us.
And also a wee boy. Who was not invited, I don't think.
Right.
But he just kind of appears at the end,
okay.
Like after you've met all the guests. And this toy maker has a bit of a habit of killing kids or making kids go missing. And so he's like, where's the boy? Where's the boy? Got to find the boy. And he's like kind of not torturing, but like scaring all of his guests into trying to find the boy.
Okay.
So
do you play as just like someone who's there? Or?
Yeah, you're like visiting after the fact. So everything you're seeing are kind of like flashbacks, and you're being guided by this like childlike kind of butterfly esque character who you don't know who it is. It's just like mystery voice, unknown voice, and she's kind of telling you like, we have to go this way, look, the dining room's open now, follow me. And then she'll just flap away, but yeah, she's kind of trying to help you figure out the story about what's happened. It's really cool because every time you shine your lantern at a painting, the painting changes, so it'd be like a bit spooky thing. So it's like, oh, this guy's had his wife next to him, now he's holding his head. And at one point there was one where it just made his head real tiny, and that's like brilliant. This is
so
my
is it
favorite
actually
one.
Like genuinely unsettling and scary, or is it sort of a bit tongue-in-cheek, you know, Disney's Haunted Mansion kind of thing?
I don't know, really. I think that like it has elements where it's like it's ominous in places, but because I think it's I don't know. It's a bit like hokey in the same way that I think a lot of like horror-esque games can be a bit hokey in the sense of like, you know when something's going to happen and it's not scary, I wouldn't say. Okay. I've not like jumped out of my skin at any point or been like too scared to like walk down a corridor, for example. Whereas there's other games in VR which have given me that fear of like, I don't want to go down there. I don't know what's happening.
Right.
So it's more, I think it's more of a puzzle game set in a ghostly mansion more than it is like a horror game with puzzles. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean.
But it's good.
Is it based on... Is it like a re-release of an older game? I've heard the name Seventh Guest.
Yeah, so it's based on a game that came out in the 90s, and it's like a VR retelling. It's not like a remake.
Right.
It's like a completely new game, but it's based on this one.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I recommend it if you've got a Meta Quest. I think it's also available on PSVR 2 and potentially also Steam VR. So if you've got it, why not have a look, see if you can have this one a go. Perfect for Halloween, I would say.
A great Halloween treat.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Ashton.
No problem.
Shall we go back to the podcast?
Yes, let's. Wow, that was nice, wasn't it? Now it's time for question two. It comes from Chris McVeigh. Hi, Bap. It's more Spider-Man question, but hey, who cares?
it's a specific thing.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2's fast travel mechanic has been one of the game's main talking points from a technological standpoint. While it's incredible to see it in action, what struck me about it is that I was under the impression it shouldn't be newsworthy anymore. Instant loading was touted as the big new thing for this generation, with the power of the new consoles and SSDs, and yet we're 3 years in and it's still headline news when a game manages to do it. Considering the previous showcases for this sort of thing was Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, do you think this SSD magic is something Insomniac are uniquely good at, or do you think we'll start seeing more of it now that support for last-gen consoles is fading?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Thank you, Chris.
It is amazing, the fast travel mechanic. Like, yeah. Absolutely instant.
It truly is quite bonkers.
Yeah.
I haven't used it a single time because I just want to swing, but I have seen video of it, so I know how
I'm always, like surprised when it happens so quickly. Like, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll just fast travel here. And I almost instinctively, like, put the controller down to wait out the loading screen.
You can't eat snacks
anymore. And then suddenly he's swanging around, and I'm like, oh, gosh, oh, God, oh, God.
I actually have a little write-up here from Eurogamer because it could have been even faster. No, Marvel Spider-Man 2's fast travel hold to confirm prompt is not hiding a load point.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
It could have been even faster, but developer Insomniac made the decision to value player usability over speed and scoring points on the internet. Spider-Man 2's fast travel capabilities have been widely shared across social media and are so slick that some players have said they believe the requirement to hold down a button and confirm your fast traveling before shooting off across the game's map was all designed as a bit of trickery to hide background loading. Well, that's not the case. This theory has now been squashed by Insomniac's own director of core technologies, Mike Fitzgerald. As part of a Reset Era thread discussing Spider-Man 2's review scores, Fitzgerald said Insomniac discussed removing the hold to confirm prompt in a bid to address that accusation before it ultimately decided this wasn't the best idea. It was correctly pointed out to me that having a confirmation window was important for player usability, which at the end of the day is far more important than internet cred points, even though we love our internet cred points, Fitzgerald wrote, adding a smiling emoji at the end.
Oh.
So realistically, you could have just pressed triangle and been there.
Mm-hmm.
But and he goes on to say that if you don't believe me, when you're holding triangle, see how late you can back out of the whole engagement. Because if it was hiding a loading screen, then it would surely lock you into the fast travel.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get it all, it's like a and you can let go at the last second and not fast travel.
Mm-hmm.
So mental. It could have been quicker.
Yeah. I do wonder if, I don't know if I think necessarily that Insomniac are uniquely good at this. I think perhaps that... They've had a couple of good ones that have been notable just for the way, I think it's presentation as much as anything else. I think the Spider-Man one, it's kind of a contextual thing or a presentation thing really is the way that you kind of expect. We're so used to, as Ashton says, we're so used to fast travel specifically being a thing where you then put down your controller. And so to be able to fast travel that quickly and there'd be nothing in between, that's kind of that's unique in itself, but I don't think it's that they are doing anything special there. I think that it's perhaps just the first time we've seen it presented in that way, if that makes any sense. So I think to be able to just cross a city like that is something kind of brand new, but that's partly because Spider-Man happens to be set in New York, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. Whereas there are other games where you could probably do very similar things, but there's just something about being Spider-Man and going from one end of New York to another that kind of makes it feel even more special than perhaps things that are happening in other games right now already. I don't know though. I'm trying to, because I've been trying to think with this question of other games that are doing it as well as that. And I don't know. I guess I am struggling a little bit, but I don't know if it's because Insomniac have any kind of
Demon's Souls
magic.
Loaded really fast, yeah. But there was still a loading screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think my thing is that, I know obviously it's not maybe the biggest open world, but it's also not tiny. Like, this isn't a small location. There's a lot that's got to load. And I think that part of me is just like, I think Insomniac are great, and I think that they are starting to be Sony's kind of like forerunner in making games for the PlayStation 5, yeah. because they're making games for the PlayStation 5.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the only that's thing that they're like, you know, they're not. It's not PS4 and PS5 anymore. It's designed with the PS5 in mind, which is why, like I was saying before, it feels like they're engaging so many of the mechanics in the PS5 controller. Because they are, because that's what they have to work with, and they know their specs, they know what they can do, and they're designing a game for those specs, for that SSD.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like, I feel kind of like I'm going to get called out for saying this, but then when you look at like Starfield, and again, these are not the same, I understand that, but like when you're in a small area of Starfield and it's still going through like a minute or two loading screen in the same city, in the same area, it's quite telling when you can tell a game has been made for a variety of platforms, yeah. with different specs in mind, handling a completely different set of information for each thing. And I just think that they're just so good at making games for the PS5 because it's so tailored for the PS5. And I think maybe if more developers were given the opportunity to make games exclusively for the PS5, maybe we'd see a lot more of this. Mm-hmm. But given that most of Sony's other first-party developers are still making games for PS4 and 5, I think we're not going to see as many people being able to dive headfirst into utilizing the mechanics of a PS5 until they're allowed to just focus on that. Like, I wonder how different God of War could have been,
yeah.
if it was just for PS5. And the same, yeah. with Horizon Forbidden West. I wonder how much that would change had it just been designed for the PS5. Mm. So Insomniac, I think they are unique in what they're doing because they're seemingly the only ones allowed to do it. So yeah, we'll have to see going forward if there's going to be more first party Sony stuff that is the same level in terms of using the specs.
I think Chris is right in that it definitely, the longer this generation goes on, it's seemingly more and more obvious that it is absolutely last generation, which is hampering,
yeah.
the speed and the stability and they're basically just the resources of studios they're having to focus. I know on the Xbox side of things, yeah. there's a huge issue at the moment with the Series S, which mm-hmm. is causing headaches for a lot of developers because of that requirement. I would love to see what Starfield would look like built for Series X from the ground up. You know, I would genuinely love to see that. I don't think necessarily you're going to see much of a visual improvement, but certainly load times and performance, yeah. you would imagine would be much better. But the whole point of this generation, as Chris says, is we were promised, like, it was meant to be more about quality of life as much as anything else. Yes, the graphics are going to get better and they have got better, yes. but the games are meant to run better. We're meant to be getting better frame rates. They're meant to be, you know, crashing less with fewer bugs. And the quite frankly, the opposite has been true mm-hmm. for a number of tentpole releases. You know, it's been widely covered that these games are crashing and they're not running at 60 frames. You know, and why isn't that? Why can't we do that still? Mm. And most of the time, it's because there's a last gen version as well, or not necessarily because, but there is a last gen version of that game as well. And you have to wonder if they weren't making a game that could run on both. And yes, I know that it's more complicated than that. Then surely it would run. Surely things would be a lot better, wouldn't it? Surely we'd be getting these 60 frames per second games that aren't crashing all the time. Mm-hmm. So the further we move into this generation, I really do believe that these things will become more and more common. You know, the fast loading times will become more and more commonplace, and that's how it should be. And quite frankly, as soon as the last generation is like done and dusted, the better, because it really does feel like there are very few developers who are able to focus on a current gen experience. That being said, though, I still really think that Insomniac deserves their flowers, because there is no one else really doing it.
Yeah.
And God, it's impressive. Like, it's really impressive. And it really goes to show what is possible. So
it feels like they never miss.
Yeah.
Like, that's true, yeah.
They're just banger they're after just banger after banger.
Incredibly consistent studio. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
It's interesting that, you know, I agree that it probably is partly down to the fact that they are able to just develop exclusively for the one console and just optimize it completely. But it's interesting that with previous generations, we have had this period of like cross-generational game release. And is this maybe a time where it's been at its most obvious that the previous generation is holding back current gen?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I know that, say, PS4 and PS3 cross-gen game releases, you would maybe see the difference might be graphical more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
But performance-wise, things seemed to run as well on both. And same with Xbox as well. Like, but now, in terms of performance more than anything else, you're just seeing this like real issue where you've got your cross-promotional, cross-generational games versus something like this, where that's really seems to be showing the difference.
Yeah, I can only assume that currently the PS5 and Xbox Series versus Xbox One and PS4, they are basically, speaking very broadly here, the same machine.
Yeah.
Which is why we've got backwards compatibility as a thing. Whereas the previous generations, that wasn't always necessarily the case, and it was a little bit more complicated. Apart from, you know, FIFA, which was still releasing on PS2 up until like 6 or 7 years ago or something crazy. But yeah, I think you're right. This is it has never been more obvious.
I'm wondering if with the release of the new PlayStation 5 Slim, if we'll start to see more of a shift in that more games will start becoming solely for PlayStation 5. Mm. Now that we're like midway through the generation and we've got a second version of the console. I mean, like you say, it's been so long now and we're still getting a lot of these big games for PlayStation 4 and 5. And again, that's great. And I'm happy for PlayStation 4 players, especially with the difficulty of getting a PS5 and the price of them. But I do wonder when they'll get to the point where they'll say like, okay, enough now. Because it feels like it's been a long time that we're kind of like lingering on also PlayStation 4.
Yeah. I mean, so I'd hope that whatever the hell it is that they're working on internally that isn't a flipping live service game is now purely in development for PS5. Mm-hmm. You would hope so. At this point, you would hope so. Because we've had some amazing games, but they have not performed as well as they probably could have done. If they were developed exclusively for next gen. Mm-hmm. So there we are. Well, let us know what you think. It's time for something a little bit strange.
A little bit peculiar.
And it's in the news. It's weird news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, if you'd like to submit some weird video game news to us, you can do so on the relevant social media platform. And
sorry.
Did
underneath the
say?
Post that goes out on a Tuesday. Just, no, hang on. I've been
or
thrown off now.
If you want to
now.
Guarantee yourself a shout out, you can go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and become a podcast producer, just like...
G.U.I. Goliath.
Nicole Hansen.
Duncan Wilson.
Katie Jared.
Eric Siu.
Potato Check 99.
Neurodivergers.
Melody Elbole.
Nexus Polaris.
Gabrielle Philippine.
Blake Thomas.
Janet
Wiggs.
And Great Giggity.
Thank you, podcast
Thank
producers.
Thank you, podcast producers. We got Peter.
I've got some weird news that was sent in by Dan Wilson at iDanWilson on Twitter. Is that funny?
I just like the name.
Hello, iDanWilson. This is according to metro.co.uk. For some reason, written by Michael Beckwith, who says, awesome games done quick 2024 will feature first ever dog speedrunner.
Yes.
Nice.
Then there's a picture of, I think, the actual dog. And it says, if a goldfish can learn how to play Elden Ring, anything is possible. Picture from YouTube.
It's a good, cute dog, though. Look at that good boy.
That's a great dog.
Yeah, you can't really see. But
there it is.
There's a dog.
It's in the link dump.
Yeah. A speedrunner has trained their dog to play an old NES game and wants to show off their skills at the next year's AGDQ event.
Aww.
It seems the best way to get people to check out speedrunning. A speedrunning attempt is to add some bizarre stipulation. One Sekiro Shadows Die Twice player filmed himself clearing it blindfolded, and Baldur's Gate 3 has a dedicated category for just reaching a sex scene as quickly as possible. Next year's awesome game... Spoilers.
What did that mean?
I didn't know that was in this write-up. Next year's Awesome Games Done Quick event, however, will be breaking new ground as it will feature a literal dog as one of its participants. Yes, you read that right.
Ruff.
For the first time ever, someone is bringing their pet Shiba Inu to speed run a video game. Unfortunately, they will not be running Silent Hill 2 in reference to one of its joke endings, but will instead be playing Gyromite, one of only two NES games that made use of Nintendo's ROB accessory. I don't even know what it is. It is hyperlinked, but...
Who's got the time?
The dog, named Peanut Butter...
Great name for a dog.
...won't be using said accessory and will instead play the game using a custom-made controller while receiving instructions from his owner, speedrunner JSR. This won't be Peanut Butter's debut speedrun, though, as he completed a Gyromite run this past summer, beating it in just under 25 and a half minutes... You can watch a video of it below, which JSR says took years of training. Look at that thumbnail.
That dog is concentrating.
It is,
oh
yeah.
Oh my God, cute.
The goal for AGDQ is to clear the game in less than 30 minutes. So between its short length and the presence of a cute dog, this run is bound to attract a lot of attention.
Aww.
JSR will be participating in AGDQ himself and attempting to complete Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse in under 40 minutes.
Wow.
Well, I'll be watching that. That sounds great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love when dogs have either a person's name or when they're just named after a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we thought about getting a dog, I was going to call it Bimbag.
Bimbag is a good name.
That is a good name. Yeah.
BB for short, you know. I have some news. Comes from Samuel Benson on Facebook. It's on GameSpot.com by Eddie McCutch, maybe. Blizzard put real human blood in a PC and you can win it. Blizzard also announced a campaign where you can get free Diablo 4 content by donating blood.
Oh, that explains why I saw a reply saying this seems unhygienic. But yeah. I thought they were just talking about doing blood donation. I was like, no, I think it's okay.
Yeah. Now through November 20th, everyone aged 18 or older in the US who donates blood at any blood donation center in the US... can earn free content for Diablo 4. Blizzard also announced a special sweepstakes where players can win a PC with real human blood in it.
No thanks.
No.
People need to log their blood on the Blood Harvest website to be eligible for free content. Blizzard is aiming to reach a collective 666 quarts of blood donated. Yeah. But even if the campaign falls short, players will earn a reward at 33% and 66% of the goal, with the final reward going out if the campaign reaches the full 666 quart target, which is good. I'm glad that they're doing this campaign.
Yeah, it's for a good cause.
Yeah. Which is 1,332 donations. They could definitely do that.
Yeah.
That's easy. If the full amount is reached, everyone at Diablo 4... If the full amount is reached, everyone Diablo 4 player, whether they donated blood or not, will be entered into a sweepstake to win a custom-made PC featuring real human blood as part of its liquid cooling system.
Excuse me, how is that legal?
Here's what it looks like.
Disgusting.
There you go. Infused with real human blood.
Whose blood is it?
I don't know. It says we don't know whose blood is in the PC.
Okay, well, that's it. Like, this feels so unsanitary.
Yeah, and then there's just basically a bunch of rewards. But the main part of this is that they've made a PC with actual real human blood in it.
Brilliant.
Apparently. What happens to blood if you just leave it?
Well,
out?
I
Does
assume
it
that, like, it's probably... It's got to have been diluted, hasn't it? So yeah, it's probably just, like...
probably have, like, chemicals yeah. in it that stop it from...
This article's written badly, Eddie. You should rewrite this one.
Eddie.
Sorry about it.
Blimey. I've got a weird news sent in by Andrew Shug at Ashug on Twitter. And this is an article from Eurogamer written by Victoria Kennedy. Baldur's Gate 3 sex speedrunners are now bedding Lysel in under 2 minutes. And wow. The subtitle says, come again?
Oh, very good.
Baldur's Gate 3 speedrunners are still trying to see how quickly they can have sex in the game. And today, one player managed to break the 2 minute barrier. This brisk performance was achieved by May, a known speedrunner in this Baldur's Gate 3 community. May previously managed to complete a sex any percent speedrun in just under 8 minutes and has been whittling that time down ever since.
How do you do that?
After just over 2 months, the Baldur's Gate 3 speedrunning community has finally peaked. The 2 minute barrier has been shattered, May celebrated on their YouTube channel earlier today. We can now bang Lysel in under 2 minutes, even faster than a speedrunner can last in real life.
Wow.
This is the world's first sub 2 minute run and the new world record. As to how May managed to bed Lysel, it involved a lot of jumping and cunning gameplay that meant certain battles could be avoided. Conversations also happened at a super fast speed, but eventually Lysel says those all-important words, I've come to sate you and be sated. Great.
In 2 minutes.
How?
May managed to get here in 1 minute and 58 seconds, as you can see in the video below. Who needs XP when you have sexp? That doesn't sound great.
Indeed.
No.
If you too are looking to woo members of your Baldur's Gate 3 party, hyperlink to a guide.
You should always have a post-sexp.
Yeah, you should.
You should. It's good. You don't want an infection.
No, exactly.
There we are. So you could do that if you're as good as May is at speedrunning.
I literally cannot even fathom. Like, having played the beginning of that game,
it's only 2 minutes long. You should watch the video.
I will. For research purposes.
I want to see a dog speedrun the sex run. In 2 minutes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
With commands from its owner, just pressing big buttons.
Sure. Oh, dear.
That was weird news. It's now time for the big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that this week comes... Oh, goodness. This week comes courtesy of Hannah O'Neill. Hey, Bap. With the upcoming release of the Metal Gear Solid Collection, there is no mention of Kojima in its credits, despite it being a series that is a big part of his legacy. Do you think that it's fair to try to avoid the fact that Kojima had anything to do with the game, or does the series stand on its own merit without needing Kojima? Love you, Hannah.
Love you.
Thank you, Hannah.
Love you, Hannah.
Got a write-up here from VGC. Kojima, whose relationship with Konami went sour during the development of Metal Gear Solid 5 and led to him cutting ties with the publisher, isn't named in the credits for the new collection. This has been confirmed. This story went out ahead of the game's release.
Mm.
This has been confirmed by multiple players who received early copies of the game and are streaming it on Twitch. Kojima's name still appears in the credits of the individual games themselves, as these are simply ports of the original games with little alteration. But the wrappers for each game, which contain their own credit screens, don't mention Kojima, nor do they mention David Hayter or the rest of the cast. Instead, the collection's new credits simply thank all original Metal Gear series staff and fans. While Konami is under no obligation to add a new credit named... name-checking Kojima in re-releases of its games. This isn't the first time a remaster has failed to acknowledge the creators of its source material by name. Earlier this year, developers who were originally involved in the making of Metroid Prime criticized Metroid Prime Remastered for omitting them from its credits. Rather than listing everyone who worked on the original game, Remastered's credits simply include a single screen that says, based on the work of Metroid Prime original Nintendo GameCube and Wii version development staff. Rubbish. Anyway, there we are. That's the write-up. So he is still credited in the games.
Within the games, because he probably has to be legally.
And it doesn't sound... Well, I mean, the reviews of the Metal Gear Collection are kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like, as you would maybe come to expect from Konami, to be extremely low effort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, the original games are just intact and haven't been altered.
Yeah.
But he's not the only one who's been omitted. It's
no,
it's
not
everyone.
Just him.
Hannah's question is, do you think it's fair to avoid the fact that Kojima had anything to do with it, or does the series stand on its own merit without needing Kojima? I think those aren't necessarily... I don't think it's necessarily one or the other. I think that the series probably can stand on its own without needing Kojima, in the sense that it's not going to be in any sort of trouble without the fact that they've mentioned him, with the fact that they haven't mentioned him. But I don't think it's fair to have left him out. I think that the decent thing to do with, you know, not just Metal Gear Solid, but as, you know, you mentioned Metroid Prime, Ben, you should at least be crediting some of the sort of the major staff, like the kind of the director and the, you know, maybe people who are in charge of art direction and producer, or, you know, lead developer, people like that. They should be recredited, I think, rather than just a big lump everyone in, special thanks to the team who worked on the original.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, it's not like people sit through the credits and you have to keep them really interesting. You know, like, you can't even give the excuse that, like, oh, well, we can't thank everyone because then the credits will be really long and people will get bored. No one's sitting and watching the credits getting excited anyway, so no one will lose anything by you extending your credits by just pasting some more text in there. There's literally nothing to lose by doing that. And actually, a fair bit to gain by just duly crediting people who deserve just a little shout out to not only say you did a good job back then, but because you did a good job back then, we've been able to re-release your game and make more money off you. So thanks for that too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think these people should be credited. I think Kojima should have been credited here. But I do think it will just sort of, it will be fine without him having been named.
Maybe I'm totally off base here, but I don't think that it really matters that he's not been credited, that everyone's not been credited in the wrapper, because they're credited in the individual games.
Mm.
And I think that if they'd credited everyone and not credited him, then yeah, there would be
a
problem.
It's very different, isn't it?
But clearly they've just, like, they've lumped everyone in. And as much as obviously it's not maybe the most respectful thing, they've not removed the credits. Like, everyone's names are still on these games in the game. They're just not on, you know, this one specific place. So I don't know if it's really that big of a deal. I think that, like, the average person who played Metal Gear, like we say with a lot of the time when we're discussing things about games, we're in the sphere. So maybe people might not even know or care who Hideo Kojima is. So for the most people, I mean, admittedly, not people who are probably buying the collection, they probably do know who Kojima is. But, you know, most people don't know and don't care. And that's fine. Like, this, they had this falling out, and some people cared, some people didn't. But I just think that it doesn't really matter that much.
I agree that it doesn't matter.
No.
I still think they should have done, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I think, like, really, in the context of, like, this situation where they've not taken the credits out, they're still credited at the end of the games, it's just this one specific place, I don't think it's that deep, really. I don't think Hideo's going to care. And I don't think the original creators are going to care. They're probably just going to be annoyed that they've done such a botched job with the collection.
The more annoying thing.
But I don't really think it matters, because, like I said, there's still credit. If they'd, like, got rid of all the credits and then just put, yeah, thanks for making the games, I guess, then, like, that's one thing. But they're still credited in the games. Their names are still on the actual games themselves. It's just this one specific place. And I think that people are maybe reading into it a bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
In my personal opinion.
At some point, we are going to find out what the hell happened.
Yeah.
We still have no idea. We know that Kojima is a headstrong creative. We know that Konami have made practically nothing of note since he left.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two sides to this story, and I personally would really like to know what happened. But surely it's
been...
You want
the goss.
I want the goss. Everyone wants the goss.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long since MGS5 released. What was that, 2015, 2016? Yeah. Maybe 2015, I think. It's been a long time. There's a good chance that the people he fell out with are still at Konami, but there's an equally good chance that they might not be, or that maybe both sides have just kind of mellowed out a bit since then, and it's actually not a big deal anymore. As you said, Ashton, they have not credited anyone. So it's not like he's being singled out here. But obviously this was always going to make headlines. And you're also right, I need to lie down. You're also right in that the easiest and right thing to do would have just been to put the credits in again. Like, how hard would that have been? Mm. And hey, if you want to maybe mend some fences and maybe come out of this looking like the bigger person out of this whole fallout, put in a special thanks for Hideo Kojima, because this is his series. And you did Metal Gear Survive, or whatever it was called, and that was the last game in the Metal Gear series, and it was really bad, and it didn't have him in. And man, I'm just still kind of cross about Metal Gear Solid 5, because that had so many plot points that didn't go anywhere, because he didn't bloody finish the game. Mm-hmm. There's so many chapters that were just kind of abandoned. It's like, here's the end. It's like, doesn't make any sense. That's great. Really good. Good stuff. Still praised as one of the best games ever made. Doesn't have an ending. Mm. I'm cross about it.
Yeah.
I think the real crime here is that they've done such a crap job.
Yeah, they just couldn't be
asked. With this remastered collection. They've got a couple of like museum-y bits, but apparently those may have been lifted from previous like iterations of the game. Yes, it is lovely and convenient to have all these games together on one platform where you can play them all, and they've got achievement and trophy support and that kind of stuff. That's great. And hopefully they'll do a second part which lets Metal Gear Solid 4 out of its prison on PS3, because it's been stranded there since 2008. I don't necessarily think this is anything significant, and I don't think they're necessarily... I don't even imagine it was an intentional slight at all.
They've not even thought about this even a little bit. It's just like by the sounds of this collection, it's the bare minimum is what they've done. And this is the bare minimum. Rather than recreating or importing all the credits from the other games to thank everyone, they've just lumped everyone in because they couldn't be bothered to
do
that.
This is just, here you go.
Yeah.
It's the games again.
And it's good that they are then, as we've said, credited within each individual game. Whereas if some, because it's, you know, it's a collection, whereas if some standalone game was brought out as a remaster, so they just remastered MGS1 as a single entity and redid their own credits, and within just that single set of credits, it just said, and thanks to everyone who originally worked on this game, then that would be a bit more like...
It would be.
You should have put Kojima's name in there, and probably everyone else as well. But yeah,
they would have to,
in there somewhere. So.
They'd have to work so hard to scrub his name from it, because it's it's a meme.
It literally is on screen.
It's all over the intro of every single game. You know,
redacted game.
Yeah, exactly. A Hideo Kojima game written by Hideo Kojima, directed by Hideo Kojima. You know, like, it's all over it. Mm-hmm. That would really be headline-grabbing pettiness. But that's not what they've done. They've, as you said, Ashton, they've not thought about it at all, and they don't care. And that's what we've ended up with.
Yeah.
I hope we get another Metal Gear game at some point, personally, because he worked with a lot of talented people, and I'm fairly sure there are probably folks out there who could keep that series going. As sacrilege as that sounds, I think Metal Gear Solid could continue without Kojima.
There might even be folks there who haven't fallen out with him who could just very quietly get in touch with him and say, so what do you sort of want us to
just
do?
Just have to listen to his brain farts podcast and adapt it loosely into
Kojima's brain farts.
Well, there we are. That's the big discussion, and that's the podcast for this week. Let us know what you thought of everything we've discussed. Thank you so much for listening. There's a few places you can find us on the internet we're going to shout out now. Don't turn off the podcast yet.
No.
Peter's going to start us off.
YouTube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. All of our videos are out on YouTube, and almost all of our streams are on Twitch, with the occasional special treat on YouTube. And if you've got Amazon Prime, you are paying for a bundle with various things that are in it, and one of those things is a Twitch sub. You're paying for it already, so you can spend that on us, and you get all the usual benefits at no extra cost.
Oh, lovely. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all of which we are at Team Triple Jump on. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/TeamTripleJump.
Our website is triplejud.mup. That's where you can find links to everything that we do. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, and we'd really appreciate it. Ashton, can we have the sponsor again?
Of course you can. He goes to all the pride parades and he's there as an ally. It's Alan Woke 2.
His torchlight is a rainbow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Rainbow coloured.
That makes me so mad for some reason. I just don't get it. Why am I so cross?
Homie.
Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.